Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights to the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights to the round table. Our shows are more. We're able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing able. We're off so bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, to seize the turtle! All rise for King to seize the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Says the turbo, and the Knights of the Round Table. everybody listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Protest ridiculousness.
We go to Hong Kong first, where police are clashing with protesters at an unauthorized rally. Tens of thousands have defied a police ban to demonstrate after last weekend's violence that left dozens of people injured. I want to go first to Anna. You've been amongst it now, hour after hour. You've seen...
Let me tell you what is happening. We have just been charged by riot police up the escalators into the train station. This is absolute mayhem. They have just come in. The protesters wielding batons, spraying pepper spray. It is pandemonium inside here. I have no idea how they are planning to disperse this crowd. Chaos. We were just chased outside while Devin and I are coming to. They were absolutely chaotic scenes. I have never witnessed anything quite like this, where there was a peaceful demonstration inside. These protesters, they are not trashing anything. All they were doing was standing here. They're being pushed on. And then all of a sudden, these riot police charged.
Look, I know this ain't funny to most people or most extent, but the doggone people who are the peaceful protesters around the world always seem to be wearing riot gear. Which is understandable because the police are wearing riot gear as well, but you got a helmet on and you're going there to peacefully protest, that ought to be a red flag. That ought to tell you something. If you got to wear... Like a helmet and a flak jacket and a gas mask because you're going to go protest your government. That ought to be a clue. It ought to be a red flag of maybe something just doesn't jive, because most countries have a constitution that allows you to peacefully protest. But in most of those, you actually have to get a permit. Otherwise, they classify it as illegal. But nonetheless, whether it's illegal or not, legal or illegal protest, it's something that it just, there's some things that, they match up, you know? They have a common denominator, and one of the common denominators that I'm talking about right at the moment, she's got this CNN reporter, she's got this crash helmet on top of her, and she's out there in the crowd, and it's all dramatic, and then you got all these people in the background have hard hats on, and so, you know, that's so I guess they can protect their head, and a lot of people got gas mask or paper mask or whatever, you know, and they're about to get pepper sprayed. So let's keep this rolling here for a second. I'm already coughing, and the pepper spray hasn't even started.
We are inside a train station. We are inside a train station. And I want the world to see what is going on here in Yuen Long. This is absolute craziness. There they are with their batons, with their pepper spray. Firing tear gas. The aggression is out of control. Protesters hurling bricks. These are protesters just standing here. That's a helmet. That is an umbrella. There are a lot of media here, but there are still about 100 or so hardcore protesters who are refusing to go home. But we want you to see what is going on here. Here at Yuen Long, inside a shopping mall, on the way to the train station.
So, Anne, just to clarify,
wild scenes. We were being chased through.
Riot police are trying to disperse protesters, trying to get them to go home, to head towards the train station, and they've entered the train station where you've seen this commotion.
We are now inside the train station. That's absolutely right, Linda. We are inside the train station. And they charged up the escalators, and as you can see, the police are now retreating. I don't know
know who is running this operation, but it is dangerous and they are shaking their pepper spray canisters. Pepper spray. Put your mask on. Put your mask on. This was an unlawful assembly, but they have put up with this for hours now. Hours. And the way that they have charged and protested, it is just absolute pandemonium. And this is how people get hurt.
I'll pause that for a second because she said this is how people get hurt. Well, what do y'all think? You okay? Let's sit here and try to analyze this for a second. First off, you got a bunch of lawmen all dressed up in combat gear. They got riot gear on. They got shields. They got pepper sprays and billy clubs, nightsticks, whatever you want to call them. Anything they can do to repel you and clock you and pepper spray you and all that kind of jazz. And so this lady's sitting there saying, well, this is how people get hurt. What? Hold on a second. I get it. You're a reporter. You're there to report what's going on there. But didn't you think beforehand? Well, obviously you must have because you put on a helmet when you went in and you got a mask ready for in case they pepper spray you. So you must have known that there was something going down or the potential of something going down before you went and got involved in this peaceful protest. Now, it's a peaceful protest, but a minute ago, she happened to mention how the police were retreating. So let's go and see how this all plays out here. And keep in mind, this is a CNN reporter over in China there.
Put my microphone up here so that you can hear me.
Because pepper spray is being dispersed. Yep, the police are retreating. They're moving back. You know, up until this point, Linda, the police were handling the situation quite well. This was absolute utter madness. What they just did then. Stop it from throwing. Okay, we just have to be safe. You got him? Okay. Yeah, no, I'm fine. But as you can see, Linda, the police are retreating. Such a bad call by the Hong Kong police. And there are dozens and dozens of media swarming this world. You know, if they thought the Hong Kong police were out of favor with the people, this has just taken it to the next level. But there is pepper spray in the air. So we are just
going. She's got
it.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, she got her mask on and she's still coughing, so she must have got a faulty design or she just doesn't have the proper training on how to put the mask on. That's one of the problems with a lot of these folks that want to go out there and protest. If you're going to go out there and do this kind of craziness, well, you might want to do a little bit of practice and get some people together and practice putting on your mask safely and actually take a test run. Because if you ain't got that mask completely sealed properly, the pepper spray or whatever gas they use, it's going to get right up under there. So you got people running around hacking and gacking now. You know, and you got a whole lot of Hong Kong medias out there, and they're all filming and everything. And so, you know, this one amazing debacle happening right now. Let's go ahead and keep going with this thing.
So at the moment, just to bring our viewers who are joining us up to date, this protest on the streets of Hong Kong that is now in the train station has been going on for hours. Since about 3 p.m. local time, it's now 10 p.m. Hong Kong time. You can see there now, as Anna was just describing, the riot police spraying pepper spray in the train station as protesters there. I'm just going to let you pick it up, Anna, if you can hear us, if you can speak. Are protesters heading on trains to leave? Are they standing their ground? From what we can see, it looks like they're standing their ground. I'm going to bring in our other correspondent, Christy Lustout, while we continue to show you this vision
This is what is happening in a train station in Hong Kong now, where riot police have been facing off against protesters for hours. If you can hear me, Christy, just give us a sense of what you have been witnessing on the streets there in Hong Kong as protesters continue to rally at this unauthorized rally as riot police try to disperse the crowd.
Okay, now, you know, once again, I got to reiterate. See, like they keep saying unauthorized rally. See, people want to have peace they want to have freedom. And they got to ask the government for permission to gather in masses. And so whenever that doesn't happen, it never ends up being a peaceful protest because one side or the other gets out of hand and they always end up pepper spraying and beating people up and people get charged with felonies and all kinds of stuff. So we'll get to the point eventually, but anyway, let's keep on rolling here.
Right, Linda, I'm standing outside the train station where we were listening to Anna Corrin and seeing her, those scenes of mayhem as you described it earlier. This is the final standoff in what has been another dramatic day of protest in Hong Kong. All this taking place in the far north of Hong Kong in Yuen Long. And in the vision, you could see the area here. We are outside the train station, completely surrounded by riot police in tactical gear, who throughout the last 2 hours have been using tear gas, baton charge, pepper spray to push back the protesters and to clear the streets. This has been an unauthorized protest. It began earlier today at a playground in Yuen Long at 3 p.m. and we've been there following the protests as it attracted, on our count, tens of thousands of people. We also learned from the hospital authority that at least 9 people have been hospitalized. The nature of their injuries, their ailments, not known. It was a peaceful protest attracting vast members across the demographic society here in Hong Kong. Many people brought up because they're angry about the scenes of violence that played out here in Yuen Long last weekend when we saw the men wearing white t-shirts attacking protesters, journalists, and passersby, and what people saw as a reluctant response by the police to get involved. They were directing their anger, these protesters that took out in this unlawful protest, risking arrest by taking part, directing their anger against the triads who became involved in this protest, and also against the police response. And that's the important thing to talk about here, that ever since the beginning of the summer protests here in Hong Kong, we have seen the focus change from what was originally on June the 9th, a single issue, peaceful mass protest about a controversial extradition bill has morphed into something so much greater. It has reflected people's feelings, their anger towards political institutions in Hong Kong, their lack of trust in the police force here in Hong Kong, their concerns that criminal gangs and triads are becoming involved in the protests that are taking place. And these are highly disruptive, massive protests that have...
Okay, pause there again. Criminal gangs and triads becoming involved. This is China, so over here in the U.S. and I think over in Europe, they got the Antifa, you know, anti-fascist protests, gangs getting involved. And so, you know, like some folks might think, yeah, we're going to go out there, we're going to peaceful protest, and then there's other people who will think, well, yeah, we're going to go out there and smash things and loot and pillage. And so, you know, it never seems to work out the way that everybody thinks. And then everybody's all upset because, well, we was just peacefully protesting and the law got all violent. Well, I'm sure they did. I mean, that's what they do. But, you know, it's just, it's ridiculousness. You know, no matter what you think that you're going to accomplish by crowding up the streets and blocking traffic and protesting this or that, this is something that we've seen quite a lot. There's so many different protests out there in this world, so many different countries that have protesters. Some, I would say, might be legitimate as far as, you know, when your government cheats you out of what you believe to be your election. You know, that's probably a good reason to protest. You know, it's it never works. It never ceases to amaze me how many people will continuously do what they call protests, and it just doesn't ever work. You know, students around the world go on climate strike. And so, you know, that's another one. We'll get to that too, but here we go. Let's finish this.
Stabilize this international financial city all across Hong Kong. Again, this is Yuen Long, the far north of Hong Kong. It's closer to mainland China than to the central business district. We're expecting more protests to take place tomorrow in central. This is a summer protest that's not going to end anytime soon. Linda.
So, Christy, today's protest now in its seventh hour, and as you said, more protests expected tomorrow. The government must really be regretting how it handled those first protests weeks ago.
The government is standing firm. Earlier this week, I attended a press conference with that was led by the embattled chief executive, Carrie Lam. Next to her, the police commissioner, Stephen Lo. They condemned the acts of violence that took place last weekend, but they also defended police action, said that there was no link between police and triads. And according to Stephen Lo, he said the reason behind the delayed police response last weekend was because the police were concentrated in Hong Kong Island, so they weren't able to come out to Yuen Long in time. You should have heard the local press corps response to that when they heard it. They didn't buy it. And the protesters who were out in force earlier today, they didn't buy it either. That's what drove them out into the streets. Again, there was no official organizer. This was an unlawful protest. It did not gain permission by the police to take place. So there's no official count of how many people took part. But tens of thousands of people took over the streets of Yuen Long. The police, in the last 3 hours, they've engaged in this clearance operation again, using pepper spray, rubber bullets, tear gas, pushing the protesters back. And now we have the last remaining protesters who are holed up inside the train station. That's where my colleague Anna Corrin and her team have been reporting. And as we heard moments ago, police have been using pepper spray to try to control and push back those protesters as well. Very dramatic scenes here, Linda.
Absolutely. Christy Lister, good to have you on the case. I want to go back to Anna Corrin in that train station. If you can hear me, Anna, just describe what you're seeing right now. Last we spoke, it seemed that the riot police were spraying either tear gas or pepper spray in the station.
Yeah, absolute craziness, Linda. It's just, we seem like we're in a bit of a lull. Someone here got a fire hydrant and was spraying it towards the police. Basically, the police have now cornered everybody. We are locked inside the train station. There are police down there, down those escalators. There are police out over on that walkway as well. But those scenes, just before you came to me, Linda, it was absolute chaos.
So now they're like cornered by the police in the train station. Well, you know, some of them are honest protesters that are frustrated with their government, which basically a lot of the anti-fascist people out there, they believe that, you know, the government and capitalism is a bad thing, and so they're constantly protesting against their government. Well, I guess one common denominator is all governments around the world seem to suck because they're not doing their job, obviously, making people mad, or people ain't getting what they want, and so they're all going to streets. So if you go up there on YouTube and you Google up protest around the world 2019, you'll come up with all kinds of protests. This is one of them right here. At Madrid, Spain. Climate action.
No nos mires, únete! No nos mires, únete!
Lisbon, Portugal. Climate action. Berlin, Germany. Climate action. I can't even say that. Dubai, India, climate action. Wellington, New Zealand, climate action. And the crazy thing about all these climate actions is a lot of kids involved. Save Me Australia, climate action. And if you notice what they were shouting in the background, hold on, let me rewind that just a hair so you can hear this. Oh, that didn't get far enough back. Brussels, Belgium. Huh. All right, so like, you know, all the chants that they got going on in the U.S. are the same chants that they got going on over there. They're just in different languages and such. So there's people out there protesting climate change. Now, so far I haven't really seen the climate change crowd getting rowdy or pepper sprayed or anything like that, but wouldn't surprise me none. Because usually guys like George Soros, according to the conspiracy world, they'll jump up in there and send in paid protesters to essentially go in there and agitate, paid agitators to go in there and turn what would have been a peaceful protest into something a bit different. Now, okay, worldwide anti-capitalism protest.
Protesters occupying a square in London's financial district are now into their third day of demonstrations against what they see.
Okay, that's the third days of demonstrations, and that's in London, UK. They got like tents everywhere. There's tents all the way up and down, all up and down the road, and you can see cops in the background, and you know, people just sleeping out on the sidewalk. So let's keep rolling here. Anti-capitalism protest.
See as corporate greed. They set up camp outside St. Paul's Cathedral after being moved away from the London Stock Exchange.
I got to pause that. The sign said, keep calm and occupy London. So here we go. There was an Occupy one down here in the United States, too.
Top 1% in Goldman Sachs and in the financial district. They have all of the power, if you talk about power within money, but the whole point is to unify the 99% to realise that if you're in the 99%, you have all of the power, no matter how much money you have.
Synchronised demonstrations took place around the world, from East Asia to Europe and North America. The vast majority of protests passed peacefully and gained some limited sympathy from global and economic leaders. The only notable exception was Italy, where riot police were called in to quash the violence. Around 250 protesters remain in London, saying they'll occupy the site indefinitely to show their anger over the global economic crisis.
Over the global economic crisis. So, like, this is it, man. This is the we're seeing this all over the doggone planet. Here, let's check out another one right here. This one here, wow, this was 6 years ago, so we've been doing this for a bit. This is in London, February 15th, 2003.
Big Ben told as the huge crowd marched to stop the countdown to war against Iraq.
Yes! Attack! Don't attack Iraq!
A seemingly endless current of marchers.
Oh, it was tremendous. I mean, people, I think it's one of the few demonstrations where people really thought they could stop a war, and therefore they felt them turning out individually, as opposed to reading about it in a newspaper or saying, oh, that's a good thing when they watch it on television.
As Mayor of London, I can officially welcome you here to this city in the biggest political demonstration in 2,000 years of British history.
It's hard to think of any one event that has brought so many different nations' protest movements together in that way. And I think it's just people aren't stupid. That they could see that what George W. Bush was about wasn't human rights, it was about controlling the oil. And they didn't think that killing tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people in the Middle East was worth that.
In Sydney, more than 200,000 demonstrators crammed into Hyde Park before bringing the city to a standstill.
Istanbul, Turkey.
The crowd here in New York City is quite larger than they had expected. We know right now that they are
blocking off from 52nd Street all the way down to 72nd Street on 1st Avenue north of the United Nations.
Every faith, every age, every race. I have never seen anything that brought the diversity of British people together so much.
Mexico City, Mexico.
More than a million, say police, on the streets of the Eternal City.
Berlin, Germany. Cairo, Egypt.
America thought it was unstoppable after the collapse of the Soviet Union. What it did have was its own population, the British population, the population of all of its allies, was saying, you're not doing this in our name. We don't agree with this. We do not want this to happen, and we think that if you're reordering the world, you shouldn't be doing it by invading and bombing and occupying
Paris
and
again.
Countries.
So, this has been going on for quite some time. You know, people protesting around the world and anti-war protesters and all that kind of stuff. You know, I can understand the anti-protest for the war and that kind of deal, but guess what? We still went to war. I don't understand why these people think that this is working right. So, students around the world go on a climate strike on this one here. Tokyo, Japan, Washington, D.C. Cape Town, South Africa. London, England. Delhi, India.
You've got no idea why we're striking. Then, like, what on earth? You must be utter idiots if you're wondering why we're striking. Like, look around you. Like, look at the climate change. Look at the amount of CO2 in our atmosphere.
Sydney, Australia. Helsinki, Finland.
We are in Genova, Italy, protesting against climate change because politicians today are not willing to do enough about it. So we're taking to the streets to fight for our futures and for those who are suffering from the consequences of climate change today.
Edinburgh, Scotland. Berlin, Germany. Nelson, New Zealand. So, it's been going on. And a lot of folks out there protesting over, you know, climate change, and that's probably one of the most ridiculousness ones that I've seen thus far. You got, here's one, Jerusalem worldwide protest. This is President Trump. Recognition of Jerusalem has sparked protests worldwide. In Iraq. Lebanon. Chicago. Somalia.
ومحسن لإلنا خاصة نحن اللاجئين الفلسطينيين نتشردنا من أرضنا وارتكبت بحقنا مجازر كبيرة بحق شعبنا.
And I'm not sure where that last one was. It looked like it might have been Syria. So anyway, a common denominator here is the number one, the talking points, the chants, the helmets on their heads, the sometimes ski masks, sometimes different types of like the Antifa. They dress up like ninjas or something like that, and so they're out there, they're protesting and all that. And this is a worldwide thing that's been going on for quite some time, but we just can't seem to figure out something. It don't work. It hasn't never worked. Now, unless you want to get out there in the streets and go toe-to-toe with your governments and get violent and go into a doggone revolution and try to overthrow the system, then that's not going to work. But I'm not advocating that anybody go to violence. But even in what they so-called peaceful protest, it always ends up at the same exact place. It ends up violence. So you got all these different military-style police forces in every single nation. They all got common denominators as well. They're dressed like military against their own people. And so when you go out there with your paper signs and your little ski mask and all this kind of stuff, and you start want to protest the government don't care. They're going to make money off of you no matter what. Just think about all the fines. Just think about all the different the people getting paid, because either you're out there making a mess that somebody eventually is going to have to clean up. Somebody's got to pay for that. And if you go smashing in things, there's insurance policies out there. People are collecting hand over fist. So all the time while you're out there protesting, you're getting nothing accomplished. Absolutely nothing. Now, you might get yourself jailed. You might get yourself pepper sprayed. You might get yourself beat up and hospitalized. You might get yourself, a criminal record for life. Am I telling you don't stand up against your government? No, I ain't telling you don't stand up against your government, but there's got to be a better way to stand up against your government if you don't like the job your government's doing. First off, you got to stop feuding amongst each other. That's the biggest key. You're going to sit there and fight back and forth. Like, for example, I don't believe in climate change because the science is a lie. But there's some people who believe it so wholeheartedly, and even the apologists who don't necessarily believe the full version of climate change will still apologize and stay on the climate change the bandwagon. They'll be out there protesting with everybody else. And when things go awry, the government will send in the riot police, and you too will get beat up or jailed or fined or a criminal record to follow you around the rest of your life. So whether you believe in climate change or not, the way to solve so-called climate change is not by going out into the streets and making a fool out of yourself. Because if you think that these governments care that you're out there, they don't care. You think the people up there in the ivory towers and in the top elite that the so-called anti-fascists keep protesting against, do you think that they care? Heck no, they don't care. They're looking down and they see they're up there, they're safe, ain't nobody getting to them. They got armed security. You know, they're protected. They're the protected class. And so you're wasting your time. You're wasting your effort. It doesn't matter if thousands or millions of people gather in the streets. It doesn't matter. None of it matters, because every time you do that, you basically feed the system. You make the system stronger every single time you do that. To have children out there in the streets protesting climate change tells us that our educational system worldwide has failed. The science of climate change, they call me a climate change denier, and some people believe that I should actually be in jail because I don't believe in climate change, and I speak out against it because it's a big crock. But nonetheless, give the devil his due. Let's just say hypothetically climate change was real, which it is absolutely 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt not real. if we can't take all the knowledge that we've got, all the acquired technology between all nations, and put resolutions out there to build perfectly efficient machines, then all we're ever going to see is the movie Idiocracy playing out before our very eyes, as these people rush in there with their little buddy helmet on into a crowd of armed police and start protesting and shouting in their face. One thing that you can tell that never occurs during any of these protests is a common sense dialogue that will actually get some sort of results and understanding from both sides of the view there. See, the Knights of the Round Table, we sit down, we may not agree on things, but we'll sit there, we'll talk back and forth about it, and we can come to either an agree or disagree, agreement, or we can try to sort through it and find a happy medium in there to try to find the real truth. But when you're in the middle of the protest and you're shouting, what do we want? Climate change. When do we want it? Right now. What do we want? Climate change. What do we want? Right now. And somebody comes up and tries to say, look, you guys are crazy. There ain't no climate change. They won't even entertain a conversation about science or reality, truth, or anything like that, because at that point in the game, they have the whole entire group think, and they have the zombification of worldwide humanity, the zombified humans out there with them, and they believe so wholeheartedly that many people can't be wrong, but in reality, they're all wrong. And if they were right, then why can't we take the solutions and put them into play? I said this on the Mad Science Show. They give out to like $50 billion a year or more to the UN Climate Change Fund, even if it was only $50 million, or whatever. With $50 million in the right hands and the right researchers, there could be so many advancements in technology that could literally build perfect machines that are perfectly engineered to be the most efficient that is physically possible due to all the known laws of physics, science, and mechanics. So if these people wanted to gather in masses to protest climate change, I wonder if you ask each and every single one of them, do you have a dollar or a quarter in your pocket? Would you be willing to, if I could tell you we could resolve this by showing you what true science and engineering and mechanics and physics can accomplish towards making things, even the internal combustion engine, so clean running that there wouldn't be an issue with this so-called climate change? How many of them do you think would actually be serious enough about what they believe to reach into their pockets and put a donation into the pile of a research group that would build a facility that would prove exactly that? Not very many of them. Most of them want the government to fund this entire deal. Now, granted, the government probably should be funding this entire deal because the government is the one who perpetrates the propaganda to begin with. But nonetheless, you're paying the taxes in, you're expecting your government to do certain things, and when they don't go your way, and paid agitators and guys like George Soros and all the mainstream media are out there propagandizing, lying to the people and the children, telling them that the world's going to end in 12 years if we don't get this under control. And so, eventually, somebody takes to the streets. And from what I've seen from just the videos we played here today, there were thousands, if not millions, of people taking to the streets worldwide to protest a non-existent problem in our world. Do we have pollution in our world? Why, sure we do, because people can't drive down the road without throwing their garbage out on the side of the road. It ends up washing down into the streams, which washes over into the lakes, and then out into the rivers, and then eventually to the ocean. And then even natural disasters will drag trash across the ocean as well. Now that has a huge environmental impact. You got companies out there constantly drilling for what they call fossil fuels, crude oil, and constantly are having problems. Either they have an oil leak in a big tanker ship, or they have an oil well out to sea break, and they spread crude oil out there. And instead of listening to real researchers, what they end up doing is they go out there and put a chemical like Corexit into the water to not clean the oil up, but to disperse it and hide it, so-called that the little tiny microbes can now absorb this and eat this oil up. Now, keep in mind, oil is a biological, you know, it's biodegradable. All right, it just makes a heck of a mess wherever it's at. But nonetheless, give them the devil's due. You put this doggone thing that down there that breaks up oil, then you have to also ask, well, if fish have oil in them, then isn't it not breaking up the oil in the fish as well? But this isn't how people think. And that's the bad thing about it. So, there's so many different things, so many different subjects that people go out there and protest for, but how many times do they ever get any real results? See, protesters in Madrid call for their prime minister to resign. Did he resign? I don't know. I mean, we could check it out and see if he actually did after it was all, but I would estimate to say that 9 times out of 10 they never do. And even if they do and they're guilty of crimes, most of them don't get prosecuted. Students around the world go on a climate change strike. We done played that one. Hong Kong protesters tear gassed, fired at unauthorized demonstrators. Hong Kong protesters attacked while calling for release of fellow demonstrator. So a fellow demonstrator got arrested, and so they went out to demonstrate to get the fellow demonstrator unarrested. So why Europe is raging in protest? Well, if you live in Europe, call in. Use your Skype. Call in and tell me why you're protesting over in Europe. As a matter of fact, if you have access to Skype and you're involved in any protests, I'd really love to talk to you as well. So if anybody wants to call me up on Skype and tell me why people are protesting in your general vicinity and what results that you hope to get out of it, and then if the protest is over, what results did you get out of it with all the things that were going on out there. You know, Russia riot police use batons at Moscow protest. Paris May Day protest on BBC. Rallies around the world in solidarity with Hong Kong extradition law protest. Extinction Rebellion activists cause disruption across London in climate change protest. So... There's a good one right there. I wonder if I can find that one on YouTube there, Extinction one, because we're all going to be extinct according to that one. But I got to be careful because a lot of these protesters just get out there and start foul-mouthing and dropping every bomb, F-bomb, S-bomb, filthy language and cussing each other out. Somebody has an opposing view. These folks can't even sit down and have a rational conversation or debate with one another without getting out there getting rallied. For Pete's sake, people get triggered over a red hat that says MAGA, Make America Great on it. All right, Make America Great Again. I get it. You know, there's folks that believe that the world as America's never been great as far as to most people, you know, that live here. I understand all that. All right? Not trying to degrade your argument, but what I am trying to say is there is a better way to do all this stuff. And it's obviously not the way that it's been done. You know, these people, they want to protest Trump, so they get out there and they burn the American flag. Arab world protesters, Trump's stance on Israel. So they'll get out there and burn the American flag. Heck, even some of the Americans are out there burning the American flag.
This is Thor Ocean.
So, that's a doggone commercial. And I don't want to hear the commercial because, see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. When you go to look up the protest, YouTube is making money off of your protest. For Pete's sake, people, I mean, this isn't rocket science. There are so many people making money off of your deal. Let me mute that and then try to get that into my, so I can swap it over to the other there. So, look, you can protest till the cows come home, all right? But you're not going to get anything accomplished at all, no matter what. So, give it up. Here's this Extinction Rebellion. Let's try this one. Now, I'll probably get bombarded with another
single
doggone advertisement. See, that's the second. I just paid them twice for your protest. Thousands have taken to the streets of London demanding against climate change.
Right now, Jamie.
Join the rebellion. We are rising up. Time has come to stay.
Alright, now here's another thing. If you're going to go to a climate change doggone deal and you're going to start singing, at least have somebody there with a tuning whistle or whatever and get yourself in tune before you start singing. So let's replay that one more time. You got to hear that again. Alright, this is what goes on there. Let's try that again. I didn't go back far enough. Alright, well, it don't matter in the doggone way because the doggone, you know, look, terrible singing and banging on drums and standing out there and protesting, it hasn't got nothing done. They're still doing exactly the same thing, and it always ends up you paying for carbon tax, you paying for all these commercials out there, you paying the fine when you're arrested for illegally protesting, you paying with your health and everything else, your safety. Why else you think these people putting on these doggone helmets so they can go out there to peacefully protest? Let's finish this one up. Waterloo Bridge is now. I can't even keep up with these people, man. They're dragging trees out into the street. Children were seen playing football out in the middle of the street. Protests glued themselves to glass doors. They glued themselves to the glass doors. And now they're smearing black paint on the windows. So, skateboarding, arrest, putting trees out there, camping in the streets, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, painting the walls. you're just going to have to go out there and look for it yourself. But if you're a protester, at least get in tune when you start singing them crazy lyrics that just don't make any doggone sense, for Pete's sake. I mean, look, every time y'all pull this ridiculousness, somebody gets paid. The cops getting paid, the judge is getting paid, the attorney's getting paid, the businesses are getting paid, they're getting paid even if you tear up their stuff, they're still getting paid. You ain't getting nothing accomplished. So instead of going out there supposedly peacefully protesting, people with military gear on and basically getting slapped into the middle of next week or slapped up into the jailhouse, the pokey, the hooskow, the clink, or whatever you want to call it, you know, maybe you ought to just kind of get together and think about some common sense things. Like, how could we resolve this ourselves since we're obviously not getting any help from the government? The mainstream media don't care. They're going to say what they got to say to further the same agenda. So they want you out there in the streets because that is ratings. And if you notice that in between every news broadcast, there's a doggone commercial. And when you go out there on YouTube and you look it up of hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of videos, every time you look it up, there's a doggone commercial. There's advertisements. There's all kinds of stuff. They're trying to sell you all kinds of stuff. There's people that have a Save the Ocean thing. They've got an advertisement up there, and they have to pay for that. So they'll take money out of their donations to pay for this advertisement. It's all about money. Every last bit of it is all about money. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter what you say. It don't matter how you act or react. No matter what happens. When you go to those protests, all you do is make somebody money. It's that simple. Everybody's getting paid but you. And you still ain't got what you wanted done. But if you thought about it long enough and with some common sense, and you thought about how many people out there in the world are actively trying to resolve problems. How many people out there... Let me ask you this question. Alright, you got 100, maybe 100,000 or more, maybe protesters out there. Out of those 100,000 protesters, how many of them there rode a bicycle in? How many of them rode a ricochet in? How many of them rode in on a scooter or a skateboard or just walked in? And how many of them rode in on the bus or a train or car or whatever? And how many of them in the process of rioting threw trash on the ground? And how many of them threw trash in the trash bin? How many of them actually threw trash into the recycling bin? And so, with that said, did they throw the proper trash into the recycling bin? So, you go to these protests, by the time everybody leaves, they leave one heck of a mess behind for somebody else to clean up, and they have actually accomplished nothing. You protest Trump. Oh, anti-Trump, anti-Trump. Trump's a racist. Trump's a hateful person. Trump's a boogeyman. Trump's everything else. Whatever. Whether he is or isn't is irrelevant at this stage in the game, because all you have done is made somebody else money and basically showed your true colors of how you actually are as a person because of what you've done in public. When you go smash your own communities and paint the businesses around you, you haven't done nothing. Somebody's going to get paid to clean it up. You can go smash the windows. Somebody's going to get paid to replace the windows. And the status quo will continue. They will continue to do exactly what they've done all these years. If what I'm saying is not true, then all these protests that were occurring way back in the day, worldwide protests, how long ago was the Iraq War? So, the protesters, let me type this in again. Protests worldwide. Alright, so the one we listened about, US-Iraq War, that was 6 years ago. Did we or did we not go to Iraq for war? Have we or have we not still been in Iraq? Iran. Afghanistan, Bosnia, Serbia, everywhere on the planet that you can possibly think about, we as a nation have our military scattered throughout the entire world. The whole United Nations kind of police action that is actually doing nothing but stirring the pot yet even more. And guess what? They're making money. You, the people, pay your taxes, and the taxes go straight to the same people that you're protesting for. When you, the people, pay your fines, the fine money goes back to the same people you're protesting for. So even if you come out there and peacefully protest, regardless whether any violence occurs, regardless of whether the police get involved in it or anything, they are there on standby when they see a lot of people. And if they don't see that you have a proper permit, then they will come and tell you that you got to stop protesting and go home. Then when you do not comply, they will forcefully make you go home. But 9 times out of 10, it doesn't usually go that smoothly. Somebody gets mad because they're out there peacefully protesting, and then the pepper spray comes out, which stirs the pot yet even more, and now everyone's upset because somebody got pepper sprayed while attempting to protest peacefully while wearing a little buddy helmet and a flak jacket and a gas mask, just in case you might get forced up out of there by the police with said equipment. So, the police are in their riot gear, the people are in their riot gear, everything's primed to spark off a civil war, and so all it would take is for one person on one side to do one ridiculous act, and the next thing you know, the shooting begins. Is anybody besides me seeing a trend of what is actually going on in this world? The good book said that in the last days there would be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and all kinds of craziness. And it was said that as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. But everybody laughed at it. Everybody scoffed at it. Paul Harvey in 1965 described today's society exactly how we're seeing it play out. Now, I don't know how to shout loud enough because it doesn't even matter when you go to the protest. You can't get a word in edgewise anyway. Because the people out there protesting are too busy yelling in your ear, chanting the same dang thing over and over. What do we want? Climate change. What do we want right now? When do we want it? You see what I'm saying? No, it's just doggone ridiculousness. That's what it is. The whole entire thing of actually out there supposedly going to peacefully protest to show your government that you are not approving of their job is worthless. Completely and utterly worthless. In 1776, a few things went down that made it so that the government out there would get the point that the people were tired of being taxed, and that was a mess. It was a bloody mess. During the Civil War, that was a mess. It was a bloody mess. Lots of atrocities occurred, and people's property got burned down. And lots of terrible things were happening in this nation during that period of time. And I hope that we never go back to something like that. Because that's not a good thing. World tensely watches China as protest erupts in Hong Kong. Really?
Those massive protests in Hong Kong taken earlier today by former State Department official Christian Whiten. The protests are expected to continue and grow throughout the whole weekend. Now, there was speculation earlier today that China was planning to declare martial law this Sunday as the government faces resistance from within. The foreign minister is now denying this. Christian Whiten joins us now by the phone from Hong Kong. So, Christian, what are you hearing about this rumor of martial law?
Well, David, there is concern among those in the know that Beijing is not going to let what's happening here slide. That's not actually deterring any of the protesters. I think they realize this is an absolutely essential thing for them to do. It's sort of a last chance, a last stand, one that you can't come back from. But as for an actual sort of move toward martial law and an invasion by the People's Liberation Army, I think that's viewed as a little more remote. What the concern is a sort of hybrid invasion, if you will, of the public security civilian police who then round up several hundred of more active protesters.
You got people out there picking up tear gas bombs and throwing them back at the lawman. Now, of course, if you're in the middle of a protest and somebody's throwing tear gas bombs at you, I would suppose that that would probably be a common reaction. But here's the thing, once again, you knew that when you went out there, these things were potential to occur, but yet you still went out there. So, you know, I'm just playing this one open air, so I hope you can hear it right.
Protesters and organizers, and that would have the same chilling effect. Not a certainty, that would be very high risk for Beijing, but a possibility.
Yeah. So, Christian, the Hong Kong government yanked the extradition treaty, right? And that was the initial spark for these protests. what exactly is the end game now? I mean, obviously China's not going to either invade Hong Kong or renounce Hong Kong. They obviously want some more protections, I guess, codified that had been in place, but isn't it starting to be a little like the gilets jaunes, the protests in France? It's like protesting without a clear sense of what outcome could be.
Right, Zach. It's interesting. It's a new collection of leaders. It's still forming. Some of the demands are varying. So, there's a demand that even though the extradition treaty has been pushed to the side, that it be formally withdrawn and killed off. There are others who want the chief executive to resign for her role in what's going on. There are questions about what the police have done. There are demands that some of the protest leaders who are in jail, along with some very ordinary citizens, airline pilots included, for example, should be let out of prison. I think if more in aggregate, this will go in the direction that Beijing needs to fulfill the promises it's broken, which included universal suffrage, the popular election of a chief executive, essentially real democracy in Hong Kong instead of the half democracy, and also a restoration of the autonomy that Beijing promised to Hong Kong.
Okay, now I gotta put out another common denominator out there, which is the word democracy, which they keep on peppering the planet with. It's all about our democracy, folks. Our democracy. Democracy, I think was said, is like, 98 wolves deciding with two sheep what to have for dinner. Alright, so it's basically mob rules. United States of America has never been a democracy. We're a representative republic, and people don't really realize that. They don't understand that, but they keep on constantly talking about we're a democracy. Well, you can see how well democracy works in the protest, because those that are out there doing their democratic protest, and they're showing their power. We got all these people, and we want you to do what we want you to do. Well, they're not going to do what you want them to do until they're completely out of the seats of power, and until your bottom is sitting in that seat, you're not going to get what you want done. It's plain and simple. It ain't going to happen. And if you want people in there, then you got to learn about voting. You got to learn about getting out there, and you got to play the system like the system's playing you. System's constantly playing you. A lot of people think your vote don't count, but if there's enough people that are doing the same doggone thing, believe me, you do get results if you actually game the system. And I'm not talking about like the doggone people out there want to commit election fraud and everything else in order to get some idiot up in office that thinks, they're going to change things. Well, once you get up in there, you find out that the status quo behind the scenes, the deep state or the world elite, they're not going to allow you, just because one person, get in there and change the way that they get paid. Now, if you really want to seriously get results, then you're going to have to figure out something here. First off, going against the system isn't going to do you no good. All you do is help them get stronger, and all you do is help them get more money. They get all the free advertisement they want. They get all the doggone commercial ads and everything. The mainstream media's making revenue. The government's making revenue. All the different medical industries are making revenue. Everybody's making revenue, with exception of the protester out there. Unless you work for George Soros, then you might be getting, who knows what, 10 or 15 bucks an hour, maybe 20 bucks an hour. Who knows what the guy's paid protesters to get out there and act ridiculous in order to stir the pot. These people know what destabilization of nations are. Order out of chaos is what the plan is. They get you out there fighting amongst each other. They get you out there fighting with the law enforcement. And they get you doing all these kind of things. And then finally somebody, the savior's got to jump in here and say, look, we got to break it up. We got to declare martial law. We got to shut this down before people get hurt. Look, there's children involved over here. Of course there's children involved. You're the one that brought them, you fool. Oh my gosh. And it just never stops. The people got to get wise. They got to realize that this whole protest thing, it's not working. And it never will work. Washington leads global anti-Trump protest. Imagine that.
Hundreds of thousands of activists have protested across the U.S. following the inauguration of the country's new president, Donald Trump. In Washington, more than 500,000 people turned out as part of a day of global action against the new U.S. administration. Organizers said people had come to highlight issues such as women's rights, nuclear weapons, climate change, and immigration.
So I woke up this morning.
So there are folks that aren't, there are people protesting probably in your nation against Trump. There are probably there are definitely folks protesting in your nation against climate change. Now, Michael Moore on here, hope he doesn't drop no filthy words, but he is always protesting something. He's been an activist forever. This guy is something else.
Picked up the Washington Post, and the headline read, "Trump takes power." I don't think so. Here's the power. Here's the majority of America right here. New president vows to end American carnage. Mr. Trump, we are here to vow to end the Trump carnage.
All right, so for all the anti-Trumpers out there, every single president, every single one of them, were involved in shenanigans worldwide. Every single congressman, every single senator. So for these folks to come out there and be bashing Trump all the time, these folks obviously missed the doggone bandwagon when Obama was doing it. They obviously missed the bandwagon when Clinton was doing it. They obviously missed the bandwagon all the way back when Bush was doing it. They're constantly doing it. This is two sides of the same doggone coin, and you're wasting time protesting with one another because you think that your protest and your words are going to make difference. And you note that every one of these so-called people up there on the deal that's sitting there leading the crowd that's telling the people, you are the power. You are the power, you know? And that's exciting. So you got a whole lot of zombies wearing pink hats that they call something filthy in some portions. But either way, you got pink hats. You got all these different people out there with signs calling everybody and his brother racist and hateful and Nazis and all that kind of stuff. And you got an agitator on the stage who's not poor, by the way. He's actually one of the elitist out there that has money. And he hasn't put his money in the pot to say, hey, let's fix all this stuff. But he has been out there stirring up the pot. So you see here, the doggone people that are supposedly the actresses and actors, the celebrities of the U.S. in Hollywood are the same hypocrites as that man you just heard right there. They're the same hypocrites as the congressmen and women and senators and so on. They're the same hypocrites. They do the same exact thing. And now you can see senators and congress ladies and women or men or whatever, all of them, out there saying insightful things, like they want to incite a riot, talking about getting up in people's faces and anti this and anti that and talking about hate speech and all this, and all these people out there are sucking it up. They're all doing the same exact thing. And then guess what? They get no results, and somebody else is getting paid every single time without fail. Now, unless the world wants to go to a worldwide revolution to where you take up arms and remove these people forcefully from the seats of power, then there ain't going to be no kind of change. And once again, I do not advocate any violence. I do not want any wars. I do not want any civil wars. I do not want any violent protests. I want people to finally get the point that when you protest the system, you are feeding the same beast that is eating your society and civilization alive. And it's not working. But there are solutions to get it done properly without all this craziness. Now I wonder, I'm taking a risk.
Today's lesson, some of these civil disobedience. Here in Manchester and up and down the country, thousands of students from reception to year 13 skipped school to call for action on climate change.
Because I want to save the polar bears.
They were waving banners in Glasgow.
Today we make a change!
Yeah, well said. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Fossil fuels got to go. Today we make change. Now, how many times have you heard that? And did you hear the fact that these children skip school to go out there and preach pop propaganda for the system? These kids were taught in school that climate change was going to kill the planet. And they honestly believe it. They believe that if they don't get out there and tell their government that they want this climate change done with, or fixed or whatever, then, you know, they want to get rid of, you know, what they call fossil fuel. Alright, well, kids going to be sadly disappointed because there is no such thing as fossil fuel, and crude oil isn't never going away. There's no physical possible way that we're ever going to run out of it. And the people that are making money selling it, they are the ones fighting as hard to keep everybody in war and in your car and riding a bus and a train and a planes and automobiles. Now, if you really wanted to resolve this thing, you could actually get it done by helping to re-engineer machines to be so perfectly efficient that they wouldn't be producing crud. But listen, it's the same doggone thing worldwide, the same chants, the same ridiculousness, the same propaganda. The news tells you something, your teacher tells you something, you take to the streets, and you just played the game exactly the way the man set it forth for you to play it. That's it.
Leading teachers' unions criticized the walkout, saying only under exceptional circumstances should pupils be out of school. And as these young people see it, the circumstances are exceptional.
One voice is strong, but thousands is stronger.
So now you're basically teaching your children how to go out and publicly protest against your nation's government. Think about that. This little kid right here probably ain't even 10 years old. And talking about power to the people, you know? And he or she's going to be out there and they're going to be protesting when they're adults. But probably won't even have a successful life because won't be able to keep down a job because too busy trying to keep the fight alive, to try to keep the global warming thing down, to try to be anti-fascist, to fight against capitalism or whatever kind of ism that is told to be as the boogeyman to them. They're constantly, without a doubt, indoctrinating these children and making new protesters for the next protest. Go back and look at the dates, folks. Everything was protested, and everything still went by as it was. We still went to Iraq. We still went to Afghanistan. We still went to Bosnia and all the different conflicts and everywhere. We were there and they were here. We were where the Russians were and the Russians were where we were at. And everybody's constantly stirring the pot. Everybody's constantly trying to get their best interest resolved. whether it be a gas pipeline or an oil pipeline or just a person, whoever's in power, not being a communist or being a Democrat or whatever. You had all these different things, you know, Brexit, exit the European Union kind of thing, exit this union, exit that union, all these different deals constantly stirring the pot, protest of every single form and fashion, and children being raised like that right there to one day become the next protester in line. The next person to get a felony, the next person to get violent, the next person to go out there and make the system more money, and the news media will make sure that they get that child on there because that's powerful. You got a child out there speaking out against climate change. That's powerful, right? Well, that child should probably be in school getting a proper education and not an indoctrination.
And we need all the people we can to help us to get the message to the government.
At Windmill Primary in Oxford, they turned a day of protest into a day of learning.
I don't want children who are apathetic and think, actually, it's nothing to do with me, I don't like it very much. I want children who think, who care passionately and are prepared to take a stand and do something about it.
A spokesperson for the Prime Minister said the disruption would increase teachers' workloads and waste valuable lesson time. But just around the corner, student activists said they weren't going to take a lesson from the Prime Minister, especially in time wasting.
Theresa May, worry about Brexit. We're going to exercise our democratic right to show that we're angry and that we care about what happens to our future.
Not everyone behaved themselves. In Westminster, there were two arrests. And this was a day off school, on the warmest day of the year so far. But a lot of suggestion that you're just here for a day off, not for climate change. What do you say to that?
I would say that's unfair. I think that this is more important than school, and not because of education, but because there's no point in having an education if what we're going to end up with is like a world where everything's underwater.
When these students were in their 40s, the planet could be nearly 2 degrees warmer. A climate that no generation in the history of mankind has experienced. What will teachers say about us in the classrooms of the future? Tom Clark, News at 10.
So, everybody's going to be underwater in a couple years, and that particular video, I gotta go back to it before I can get the date off of it. Alright, that particular video was, where's the date on there? That's a new video. That's well, sort of. It's February 15th of 2019. But there's videos of them saying the same exact thing many years ago. So, you know, we're still not underwater. And if we ever do get underwater, I guess we'll have to use some of our technology to, you know, survive. But nonetheless, it's a constant same old deal, anti-war, anti-climate change. Let's go with this one here.
This is 4Ocean, and they sell bracelets that clean the ocean.
See, everybody's getting paid, folks. I'm going to mute that, push that, wait for that, skip that, now unmute. Ah!
From Germany to Sweden to Spain, students across the world are walking out of their classrooms.
I think we're all here because there's only one Earth, and we're destroying it. Everybody is contributing, even unconsciously, and I think nobody wants really to do it, but it's in the habit.
But they're not doing it just to skip school. They're doing it to prove an environmental point.
We do not want to cut class, but we have come to a point where we feel like we have to. We feel like that's the only way to get attention. Strikes on the weekend with students are not always the ones that reach the most people. When we disrupt a system that's put in place, we get more attention from leaders.
The students worldwide bring attention to a threat they believe is growing by the minute. Climate change.
Last year, climate change was not on a lot of people's political radars, and so I think that that's really the main goal of today and actions like this, to show that, like, This is a big deal, and we really care about it.
Here at Columbia University, students say they've often been dismissed about their thoughts on climate change, but now they're saying that they've experienced the impact of climate change firsthand, and now more than ever is the time to get their voices heard.
All the actions that students are taking are telling our leaders that students, the people who are going to be voting for them in the future, do not agree with the policies that they have currently. If they want to stay in power, they're going to have to change that and work on our behalf.
Over 1,000 marches were planned in 106 countries. It comes on the heels of recent reports claiming that 2018 was the warmest year on record. And traumatic natural disasters like the California forest fires are examined by scientists as environmental casualties.
Climate change is something that really frightens me, and this is...
So, the California fires, I wonder who started those California fires. There's some conspiracy theories out there about those weren't necessarily accidental, but it, regardless, nature starts forest fires all the time. A little lightning strike here, burns down some trees, the trees get overgrown and it clears out that area. Then every time there's a forest fire, when the stuff grows back, it's 10 times nicer than it was prior to the deal. So nature's got that resolved, but there are people out there who, for whatever nefarious purpose, such as maybe wanting to cause a mass calamity or get some insurance things going on or whatever, they'll start fire. And sometimes it's just something as simple as some idiot out camping not being careful about where they camp and what or putting their fire out when they leave. And so, some of the sparks end up getting some dry material, and then it starts a chain reaction. And then even in the portion of firefighting, there are people who has actually went out and used fire to stop fire, to make a fire break. They burn off a section, keep it under control, and then that makes a dead spot so the fire can't jump across it. But then potentially the wind picks up and jumps across that barrier anyway. So there's all kinds of factors that play into what could have initially started that fire. But it had nothing to do with climate change. It had nothing to do with climate disruption. It had nothing to do with global warming. All this stuff has been going on for eons. So, there's been forest fires throughout the history. There's been entire cities burned down. There's been entire cities destroyed by floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, typhoons, tidal waves, and so on down the line. And it's been going on way before the automobile ever even came into existence. It was going on way before the industrial development of all these nations. Now, is it cloudy in some cities? Yeah, it gets polluted in that area. But I guarantee you, you go stand on a hill and you look down at, let's say, Kansas City. You stand on a hill, you look down at Kansas City, there's a murky cloud all the way around it. Go 20 or 30 miles away, and it's clear as daylight out there. Perfectly clear. Why is that? Because all that soot and crud that is down there coming out of them cars is centralized to an area that doesn't have necessarily a lot of wind basically flowing naturally through there. And since carbon is heavier, it falls down and it basically compacts right there in a general vicinity. So it's a good possibility that if you're a person who actually lives in Kansas City, you might be slightly less healthy than the person who lives 20 or 30 miles away from you out in the country. But as far as that, getting to the whole worldwide climate change deal, if there was enough CO2, or in this case, carbon monoxide, which is one oxygen molecule connected to one carbon atom or whatever, I can't even keep that straight anymore. I've been rattling this so many doggone times. Oxygen, carbon monoxide, and carbon dioxide, all three have a difference in weight. Carbon monoxide is one oxygen atom connected to one carbon atom. Carbon dioxide is two oxygens connected to one carbon. So, if at 10,000 feet the air starts to get really thin because gravity is pulling all this oxygen down towards the ground, and there aren't trees that are 10,000 feet tall, at least not anymore. Could have been, who knows. But nonetheless, the higher you get up there in the air, the thinner the air gets, the thinner the oxygen gets. So you have to explain how magically something that is heavier than oxygen can get up there where oxygen can't even go. And if there was enough CO2 or carbon monoxide, either one, carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide, at those altitudes, we'd all be dead right now. Because they're bigger molecules and they displace oxygen, and we would all suffocate and die of carbon monoxide poisoning. But that doesn't reach the levels of common sense that can get into the brains of the masses who have been constantly told a lie, that are willing to go out there en masse, skip school, skip work, go out there, protest their government to try to get something accomplished that nature has already been in control of. Now, going out there spraying crud in the air, such as chemtrails and all that kind of stuff, that's obviously not a good thing. It's not natural, and it's going to cause an effect. And if you heat up one side of natural environment and you cool down the other side, if you understand anything about physics at all, heat and cool together begin to cause a swirling effect. That's how most tornadoes, that's how all tornadoes and hurricanes, when the cold air and the hot air mix each other, heat's trying to rise while the cold air is trying to fall, and it produces a weather pattern. So we can actually interfere with what nature has already had put in place by thinking we're going to tamper with the weather. We can actually cause weather to change drastically right down the road. Now, NASA's running this big old giant deal that they say that they're going to go to Mars with, this rocket engine, and it's a hydrogen engine. And when they run this thing for about 60 seconds or more, they turn around and produce this massive hydrogen and oxygen cloud that then in turn, when it cools down, causes it to rain. Think about that. But how are you going to get this type of information in the textbooks at school that everything you do could cause something to happen? But just because we're all driving around in doggone cars doesn't mean that those cars are causing the world to heat up. Half of the world's in the sunlight, the other half of it's in the darkness. You have day and night. And when it's dark outside, infrared is not good heat, unless you keep it going constantly. So when the sun goes down, it gets cooler outside. When the sun comes up, it gets hotter outside. When you're not paying attention to nature and you're over-fertilizing your doggone farms, that runoff from the rain gets down and throws the ponds out of balance, and nature takes over again. But all these protests, they haven't done nothing. Now, when the world really seriously wants to get serious about fixing this, if they're really seriously worried about this, then we'll resolve the issue for them and just humor them, and we'll make our engines and all of our machinery and our factories so energy efficient that it won't even be an issue. But you got children out there doing this.
Big momentum and a big impetus towards fighting that.
Although some world leaders, like British Prime Minister Theresa May, have been critical of climate strikes in the past,
Students all over the globe continue to fight for the planet they call home.
Climate change is not a partisan issue. We're all stuck on this planet together. So it is a way of opening up the conversation and making change faster and more efficient.
Ariel Hickson, I-24 News.
So making change more faster and efficient. So what exactly are we changing? What is it that we got to change? Why do we got to stop? We got to get rid of fossil fuels. That's what they said. Oh, for Pete's sake. Sometimes I'm preaching to the choir. Sometimes I'm shouting at the wall. Sometimes I'm shouting into an endless void of ignorance. Sometimes I'm shouting all four points of the compass and getting absolutely no results. So if common sense can't even get results, and a whole bunch of people out there shouting a ridiculous chant, what do we want? Climate change, change or something like that. When do we want it? Now! You know? Or, ho, ho, we won't go, I ain't been to school, don't you know, kind of craziness. I don't even know who makes up most of the chants out there. But it's ridiculous. That one we was hearing earlier. I know some ways it's not funny, but some ways it is funny because I'm sitting here and I'm peeking through this little porthole that we call the internet and looking out into the world. And I'm hearing all these people complaining about everything that is wrong with the world and never once trying to do anything to resolve the issues. And even when it comes down to recycling, folks, they are not even really recycling. Some people take it serious, most people don't. Then once you do all, if you're the one that takes it serious, you put it in the right bin and then they ship it over to the governmental system, who then in turn found that it was easier to ship it out of the country instead of recycling it. So, but what do? They send it over to places like China and different nations like Taiwan or whatever. They send it everywhere but here, and they're throwing away a valuable resource and making it somebody else's problem. Sweden even had a point where they were actually buying trash from other people, and they had a point where they were being paid by other people to take their trash. But all this, every bit of it, is ridiculousness. You go out and protest guys and gals that have guns and military combat gear and riot gear and shields and all that kind of stuff, and you really showed your government. Man, boy, I tell you, didn't you show your government? You burnt down your own communities. You looted and pillaged during the riot and stole things from other people in your community. You really showed the government, didn't you? Nope. You didn't show the government. You supported the government. Just merely by going out there joining in that mob called a protest, you fed the beast. And if you ever want to get anything accomplished, you're going to have to realize where the true power is. And you're going to have to convince them where the true power is. The true power isn't in protest. And it never will be. Every time you protest, they make a new law. Just for you. Yeah. Yeah. You're the only one ever held accountable for those laws. Anon 9645 said, when those that make the laws are not held accountable by the laws, you know they are criminals. To change this, someone needs to write a new set of laws based on basic human rights and morals. The people then must adopt these new set of laws and arrest the old lawmakers. So you start your own doggone system of the people, by the people, for the people. You don't attend any protest. You don't attend any news media. You don't even just, you walk away from them all. You walk away from the government, you walk away from the news media, you walk away from the companies and corporations that aren't doing the right thing, and you start your own society right here in the middle of the system. You start your own world. Each and every one of you in your community build you a dream team in your community, and you start working that community from the inside out. You don't ask the government for permission. You just do it. And when you do that, when the police ain't got no job to do, they ain't got nothing that they're going to stand around twiddling their thumb, nobody's going to keep paying somebody who doesn't have to work. And so if there ain't no crime going on in there because there ain't nobody protesting and there ain't nobody burning down their own community, they don't have an excuse to get out there and beat you up and make more laws against you. The people are their own worst enemy. You are securing your own slavery by fighting the system in the manner in which you do. Yeah, you got a whole lot of people standing out there in them crowds, and you've had a whole lot of people standing out them crowds time and time again from every nation around the world. But what have you accomplished? Absolutely nothing. The same system that you claim to despise is in charge. The same capitalism that you claim to be against is in charge. The same elitist, the same people are getting elected, the same people are eating steak tartare and caviar and drinking fine wines on your dimes. And you showed them. Boy, you showed them really good. You even had your kids out of school to show them. We're united. That ain't unity. That's chaos. That's a recipe for disaster. People in ski masks and little buddy helmets and freaking you know, sticks and signs and some cases weapons going up against the army, the militaries of the world. The same people you're paying for. And those folks are standing their ground because they believe that in order to keep society, they have to do their duty. I'm just doing my job. So I got to pepper spray y'all because y'all getting out of hand and we got to disperse this crowd before somebody gets hurt. I'm just doing my job. And if you talk out against the police and then expect the police to come to your rescue whenever you're being a jerk, you might find out that ain't the way it works. So your hypocrisy of calling the law on somebody that you disagree with is going to come back and bite you in the buttocks before it's all said and done. And all you do is perpetuate the same worldwide protest. All you do is perpetuate the same worldwide wars and conflicts and rumors of wars and plagues and famine and pestilence. If millions of people can gather in the streets to protest climate change, then millions of people can gather in the streets to take food and necessary materials to those who are in need. You can save the planet by not trashing it to begin with. But I would estimate that at least 98% of all those so-called environmentalists out there are hypocrites because what they do in their personal life isn't what they represent in public. They're not out there getting things accomplished. They're not out there. Look at that many people. You got a million protesters out in one place, 100,000, 200,000, who knows how many protesters, crowds and crowds of people. When it's all said and done, there is one god-awful mess left behind. People urinating in public and defecating on the sidewalks. And somebody got to clean it up. If that many people decided they were really serious about climate change, they would get out there and they'd clean this world up. If they were really serious about cleaning this planet, every single one of them would be down in their creeks and local streams and cleaning this world up. Every single one of them would be out there gathering up their pennies and taking donations to put them towards actual researchers that would find the research necessary to give them the solutions that they needed without having to go through the corporations to get it done. They're constantly doing the same doggone thing to the masses, and the people keep constantly protesting and never getting any results. Governments have an unlimited budget where they can do whatever they want to you, against your neighbors, against people in foreign lands. They can go to war in your name. They can commit atrocities in your name. And you think getting out there shouting in each other's faces and hitting each other with sticks and breaking up your own communities is the solution? You really showed your government, didn't you? They still have the money. They still have the power. They still have you under control. And you haven't accomplished nothing. Absolutely nothing. So protest. Go out there, riot, loot, pillage, steal from one another. Hit each other because you don't like somebody's hat. You don't like somebody's shirt. You don't like somebody's political view. You don't like their Christian or Muslim or whatever religious view. You don't like them. So go out and do what it is you've been doing for the last several decades. Continue the inevitable and ultimate downfall of all of humanity. Until one day it all just finally implodes and we find ourselves in a worldwide conflict of epic proportions. Because something's got to give. I'm surprised that as many protests, as many riots, as many crazy things have been going on out there, that more people haven't cracked, that more people haven't started civil wars, which is a good thing. You know, maybe it's because they have a healthy fear of their government. Maybe because it's they have a healthy fear of one another. But if you're out there shouting at the masses, and you're out there violating each other's rights and freedoms, all you're doing is feeding the beast that is eating you alive. That's it. You haven't accomplished nothing. You made the man stronger. You made the government stronger. You made the corporations stronger. You made all the companies and businesses and capitalism, you made them stronger. And you really showed them, didn't you? Man, you showed them. You showed up in masses. You showed up with your signs, your wooden stick, and your paper sign saying, "Save the trees." You showed them. There's still plastic in the ocean. There's still pollution everywhere. Go down your local streams. Was your government responsible for throwing that car tire in the ditch? Was your government responsible for throwing that Pepsi-Cola can or that Coca-Cola can or Mr. Pibb or Dr. Whatever or Mountain Dew? Was there your government responsible for throwing that in the creek and the rivers and the lakes and the oceans? Was your government responsible for all the plastic bottles floating around out there? Was your government responsible for the trash you threw on the side of the road because you was too lazy to put it in the proper receptacle? Do you have any accountability for anything that is going on in this world? The Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not kill, yet you still do it. The Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not steal, yet you still do it. Thou shalt not commit adultery, yet you still do it. You lie, you steal, you bear false witness on each other. You utilize the government as a tool to oppress your brothers and sisters around the world. You destroy your environment, and you want the government to fix it. When you realize that the only way that you're ever going to get anything accomplished is that when you are only one piece of the puzzle, that you're one gear in the machine, and depending on which way you turn will determine the outcome of humanity. If you turn your gear towards the government, then the government wins and becomes stronger. If you turn your gear towards the people, then the people win and the people become stronger. But your violence, your ridiculousness, your filthy language, your lewd and crude acts in front of children, your sickened view of what you believe that society should become, it's all feeding the beast. The same beast that's eating you alive. And you're not happy about it. So you're going to take to the streets. When a lawman shoots down one of your own, you take to the streets. When one of your own shoot down the lawman, nobody says a word. When you can't even walk down the street and be proud of your own race with your own color, nobody in this world can ever be free. You're told that you're racist. You're told that you're homophobe. You're sexist. You should be ashamed to be white. You should be ashamed to want to marry a woman if you're a man. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should agree with every single person out there. You should not speak your words against any of them. You're told this. You're told this by each other. And you're told this by propaganda from your media, from your government, from your commercials that you see on TV. If you don't look like this, if you ain't wearing these clothes, then you're not as good as that guy or that gal. You want to fix this world? Then it starts with you. But you don't want to take that step. Because that's too hard. Too much work. And why should I be good when nobody else is? Why should I pick up trash when nobody else is? You lead by example. And you'll find that others will follow. And if your example is going out into the streets and making a fool out of yourself and trashing your community, fighting against people that have authority over you because you chose to allow it to be so, then you can't be surprised when a peaceful protest becomes violent. Oh, I'm shocked. I can't believe the police are beating us toothless. I'm shocked. I can't believe this is a peaceful protest and the police are getting violent. And then you've got another mentality out there that's listening to this whole thing. Oh, look, the police are over there being violent. Let's go show the police. So now you're going to rush over there and you're going to get violent with the police. You're going to throw things at them. They're going to retaliate back and forth, back and forth. That is what it means to destabilize nations, for Pete's sake. The folks behind the scenes playing you like a banjo, using you like a pawn in chess, are getting every single thing, every single reaction that they wanted out of you. And they are getting paid. I don't know what to do, because I'm only one man. But I'm positive. I am positive that I am not the only one with common sense in this world. But when I look out there and I see these protesters and I hear these ridiculous chants, hey, hey, ho, ho, Trump's got to go. All right, so where's he going? He's still there. And the next person in line, are they going to be any better? If you look at the 2020 candidates for presidential election on the other side, they don't look too bright. And they sound even worse. But those are the ones that you're going to rally for to become the next presidents of these United States, or your nation for that matter. And when you go back and you look at the crimes, you can overlook the crimes of that side because that's the color of the team you're on. They can overlook the crimes of that person's past because that's the color of the team that they're on. And so y'all choose the lesser of two evils. Why not choose any evil, period? Look, I ain't vote for either one of you creeps. You're both criminals. Especially you. You've been in there for 30, 40 years, and what have you done? Nothing. You got judges who are on the Supreme Court for life. And if they're all one political view, if they're all liberal, then you get liberal decisions from that point on. And if they finally swap it over and you get all conservatives, you get conservative decisions from that point on. And very rarely do you get a happy medium meet in the middle that matches what the words of the Constitution were supposedly all about. So when are the people going to learn? They ain't going to learn as long as you allow your schools to be the way that they are. As long as you're allowing your children to be indoctrinated, as long as you're one of those people that take your children to a protest, this is how we do it. We go out there and we act ridiculous. We got a sign. We got a red hat. And watch them people get so angry because you got a red hat. I got this black eye because somebody smashed my face into a pole because they didn't like my red hat because they thought my red hat was racist. But I'm going to that thing again next time around. I'll show them they're not going to win. They'll spit on each other. They'll lie and propagandize to each other. They'll spew out all the talking points of the mainstream media and the government propaganda. And they'll go home angry and frustrated just as much or even more as they were when they went there to begin with. Yeah. We showed them. If your government's corrupt, folks, your government comes up against you, our Constitution has a remedy for that. But it takes a lot of courage, and you have to know ahead of time to do what that gives us the authority to do would be a travesty for our society. But nonetheless, it's there in the background. And all these other nations out there, angry at their governments, they need to just walk away from the system. You can let the system go on business as usual. And you can know the law better than they know the law. And you can use every bit of that information to your advantage. And you can build a society right within their society like a Trojan horse. And there will come a day when they become so insignificant the lawmen ain't got a job to do because ain't nobody running around rioting and fighting with each other. So they're more than likely going to come over to you because you've already been successful in your task, and they're going to ask you for a job. And you're going to have people that come in to try to destroy that process because they love the system. They make money in the system. As long as you're oppressed, somebody's getting paid. You can take that one to the bank. But if you personally take it to the bank, bank ain't going to give you nothing. But don't think that the system ain't taking it to the bank, because they are. The bankers of this world have been manipulating our society, our laws, our education system, and you for entirely too long. And yet, you keep feeding that beast. Think about what I'm saying. If you're going to beat anybody in a game of chess, first you got to know the rules. You got to know how the game is played. And you got to outmaneuver them. When you're out there protesting in the street, might sound a bit like this. That's a peaceful one there. Yep, nice and peaceful. Stop the violence. Everything going well all the way through this whole deal.
本当に命の重さって同じだと思うんですね。子供を持ってもうそれを本当に小さくても同じ重さなんだっていうことを分かってほしいなと思います。
Now, wasn't that a lovely protest?
ブッシュの大統領は特に。
That's a and the guy's even got love on his on his forehead.Got love on his forehead. But then the protest at any given second could take a radical turn. Here's one Antifa alt-right scapegoat. So they're trying to say that Antifa is paid opposition by the right wing of the deal. And believe me, I'm not stupid. I know that there are people who are paid protesters to go in there and stir up the pot. I'm trying to find something right here. So, far-right marchers clash with Antifa fascists in Portland, and this is a risky move right here, pushing on this. So you got people beating each other up, you got people smacking each other in the head with sticks, they're all wearing motorcycle helmets, hard hats, little buddy helmets, the police are shooting rubber bullets and pepper spray into the crowd from behind barriers, and so, it's it. Alright, enough of all that. Enough of all that. So what's the doggone solution? The solution is that you got to get out there and talk some common sense into your neighbor when you hear they're getting ready to go to a protest. Tell them to go to the round table instead. Tim, come here and we'll figure out how to get results without having to go out there and go up against the man or one another. Alright, you want climate action? Then come to the table. And I'll use every bit of knowledge that I've acquired throughout my lifetime, and I will give you the best physics and the best science and the best mechanics to literally teach you how to build machines that are incredibly energy efficient and with no byproduct that could pollute the planet. And we will pull our resources together and we'll get it done. And we will force that device into the market. If a million people were watching my back and I had the resources and the dream team, we would have had it done already. Ain't nobody gonna rush behind a million people and come in there and kill me or my team and make sure that it never makes it to the market. But you don't see that. What you see is a lot of people buying t-shirts. You see a lot of people buying signs. You see a lot of people buying food and drinks and banners and all this kind of stuff. To rally for the cause. I got my red hat. I got my red shirt. I got my ski mask. I got my gas mask. I got my motorcycle helmet and my doggone football gear. And I'm ready to go riot. I'm ready to go protest. If you spent a fraction of the money, the time, and the effort that you do, wasting your time tickling the toes of the dragon, you could get things accomplished. Because that's all you're doing, is tickling the toes of the beast. And yet you still continue to be a hypocrite. You lie, you steal, you kill one another. You commit adultery. You cheat on each other. You propagandize each other for the government. You propagandize each other for the mainstream media, and in some cases the alternative media, aka RT with that jerk on there that's always on there saying something ridiculous. Can't even remember the guy's name anymore. But I've seen it all. I've heard it all. I've witnessed it. And while you're out there at the protest and you got your governments pointing guns and cannons and all that at you, heck, there's one in Hong Kong where they were actually shooting a flamethrower across the street. Are you kidding me? Let's click on that for a second. There are thousands of people, if not millions of people, in this video running up and down the street, fighting with the lawman, fighting with each other.
Dumb. 諗我哋唔會因為政府無視我哋嘅民意，然之後我哋會放棄，因為呢個係我哋嘅家。咁我見到其實今日好多香港市民都係仍然會站出嚟。未來我相信嗰一兩個禮拜，我哋仍然都係會 challenge 咁會出嚟。我哋想表達翻，我哋係反對引渡條例嘅。
Oh man, I give up. I give up. So that's what's going on, folks, in the world that we live in. Protests today, protests tomorrow. There's going to be so many protests. And like Anon said in there, when those who make the laws aren't susceptible or accountable by the same laws, then how can there be justice? Which brings you to the one, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. So you're going to turn around, burn down, and bash your own communities and each other because you want justice. I think that everything out there, some of these people have gone too doggone far over the edge, and they become quite literally zombies. This must be what the military was planning for, the zombie apocalypse, because after being indoctrinated and brainwashed for so long, the population has quite literally become zombies. They won't listen to reason. They won't listen to common sense. They won't take the solutions available to them. They want somebody else to do it for them. So at some point in the game, it becomes hopelessly ridiculous. Ludicrous. It's mind-blowing, folks. It is flat-out mind-blowing. But that's what we got. And that's what we're going to get until we decide to pick up the solutions and do something about it. Going out there standing in the streets on masses. Unless, and I'm not advocating, unless you're planning on removing these people out of the seats of power and firing them, unless you plan on running these people out of town, you ain't gonna get nothing done. But if it comes down to that day, you got to know that they've already put it in place to set this town on fire. They call it mutual assured destruction, not just for the military, but for the people as well. Because if they can't maintain continuity of government, you think they won't burn it down themselves? And then they'll have you begging and pleading for you to give them some of that food that they stored away. Anon said, for a species to become a civilization, it must become civilized. And that meaning of the word civilized has been skewed since birth. Civilized does not mean to have manners and be polite. It means to do what is right rather than what is easy. Am I wrong? Well, if you could get people to do what is right rather than what is easy, we would have our problems solved. But I don't know. When you can't even have a civil discourse with somebody, you can't even have a conversation with people, they're too busy chanting in your face. They don't want to hear any opposing view to climate change. They don't want to hear any opposing view to Trump or vice versa. They blame the man in the office and they don't hold themselves or their own communities accountable for the atrocities that go on worldwide. If anyone is responsible, then we all are responsible in the grand scheme of things. Everything that we do as an individual has an effect worldwide. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, that's not true. I can't affect nobody worldwide. Sure you can. You smile at somebody at a grocery store, they go over and smile at somebody else who then in turn goes and smiles at somebody else who then in turn gets on a bus and smiles and somewhere down the line smiles and until they rush across that one that got the hateful attitude, then that smile will carry on and go worldwide. But that chain reaction of every positive pebble that you throw in the pond, it never stops. And the more positive pebbles that you throw in the pond, the more positivity you can get out into this world. And if you truly believe that we're all connected, if you truly believe that we're all family, then you got to let down your hate and discontent for one another. You got to drop it. You got to leave it alone. We all probably to some extent are self-centered. You got to care about yourself, that's true. But when it becomes all about you, it never becomes all about us. And you'll get offended. I say the wrong word, I lose a lot of listeners. If I say the wrong thing at any given time, I make people angry. Just by talking common sense, people are going to get upset. If I sound like I'm preaching, they'll tell me I'm too religious. They'll tell me I'm preaching to the choir, standing on a soapbox, on my high horse. I don't even own a horse. But nonetheless, doesn't matter. It seems that those who speak out against the lack of common sense in the world and try to pull people together, they have a hard go at it. But giving up is not an option under these circumstances. Because these riots were one time might be peaceful, might start off peaceful, doesn't end up peaceful. By the time it's all said and done, it gets pretty violent. Any one of these episodes could trigger a catastrophe of epic proportions. I don't even have to go into all the details of what could potentially go wrong. So, I'm going to take a chance and I'm going to click on that. Hopefully there ain't nobody cursing in it. Anon's trying to share something here. I'm going to wait just a second. Try this. I'm going to trust in honesty and humanity that I'm not going to have a bleep session going on.
For God's sake, don't
touch it. Dad, what's wrong with the telly?
Good evening, London. Allow me first to apologize.
This is the emergency channel.
I do, like many of you, appreciate the comforts of the everyday routine, the security of the familiar, the tranquility, repetition.
Bloody hell.
I enjoy them as much as any bloke. But in the spirit of commemoration, whereby those important events of the past, usually associated with someone's death or the end of some awful bloody struggle, are celebrated with a nice holiday,
I thought we could mark this November the 5th, a day that is sadly no longer remembered, by taking some time out of our daily lives to sit down and have a little chat. There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
Think, just let me think.
I suspect even now, orders are being shouted into telephones and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's time for supper.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words are for the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You taught me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and subverting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to come. Fear got the best of you. And in your panic, you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace. And all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
Inspector, you're almost through.
Last night, I sought to end that silence. Last night, I destroyed the Old Bailey to remind this country of what it has forgotten.
More than 400 years ago, a great citizen wished to embed the 5th of November forever in our memory. His hope was to remind the world that fairness, justice, and freedom are more than words. They are perspectives. So if you've seen nothing, if the crimes of this government remain unknown to you, then I would suggest that you allow the 5th of November to pass unmarked. But if you see what I see, if you feel as I feel, and if you would seek as I seek, then I ask you to stand beside me one year from tonight, outside the gates of Parliament, and together we shall give them a 5th of November that shall never, ever be forgotten.
Kerosene fog. He's using our smoke machines.
Go to the exits. No one gets out.
The rest of you follow me.
that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
have an ivory tower to live in. I don't have a high horse to sit upon. I don't wish to be a king. I don't wish to be a leader. I just wish to be heard with a bit of common sense that I feel could make a difference in the world. So, I put together the Knights of the Round Table show to bring those brilliant minds from all different nations together, in hopes that one day we could all resolve the problems that we find in our world in a peaceful manner, and that we could actually leave for the future generation something better than what we've had to contend with. And that maybe these words of inspiration would do something positive. You know, they would bring about some real, true change in the hearts of the many. The true power ultimately lies in the people. But until the people realize that, until they start focusing their energy in the right direction, then we'll constantly be rallying the troops for protest worldwide. And the overthrow of governments may very well bring about a new government that is worse than the one you had before. Stephen Gibbons said, we only need one law. Do no harm. He actually said, you only need one law, need to cause not to cause another human being harm or loss in any way. Pretty simple to remember. It covers everything. Local-based justice, no more professional law careers or impartial members on your community would do, or a jury or a 13 could hear more serious harms or losses with the harsh punishment of being banished and in global society, which it would have to be given our level of technology. I hope I'm not messing this up. It's not a penalty to be taken lightly, and I agree. That's what in a perfect world, that'd be amazing. We got so many issues to what we could weed through and fix and work on all that, but until the people actually realize that all they're doing is feeding the same beast that they supposedly despise, the so-called true believers in climate change. For you, if you happen to stumble on and hear these words, there is a way to fix it. Protesting is not one of them. Protesting the government feeds the same beast that you claim to despise and gets absolutely nothing accomplished. Everything that we talk about here on the Knights of the Round Table sometimes is a tough subject. We've laughed, we've cried, we've got angry. And I'm only human. I get angry. Sometimes I want to be a foul-mouthed heathen and start dropping F-bombs and S-bombs and just yelling at the world. But I understand something. You can't get your true message across by being disrespectful to others. The best way to utilize the power of your spoken word is to speak respectfully and honestly and truthfully and live the life that you profess to be a good way. Now, as a Christian, I quote a lot of things that are biblical references. But I don't use that as a weapon of war against those who disagree. I don't use threats of hell and damnation to try to put the message across. Now maybe that's not the way it's supposed to be done. but that makes me different. That's outside the box or outside the norm. But peace never came from the end of the barrel of a gun. And it ain't for me to judge anyone. I can judge myself. I know the things that I've done that are wrong. And I'm trying to make right about the world in my own personal way. I've seen terrible things in my lifetime, things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. And my hopes is that we can inspire those people out there in the world that are capable of coming together and changing these things one positive pebble at a time. By yourself, you may only be one penny, but on masses, you become millions of pennies. Millions of dollars. And if you understand what the system is doing to you, you're better equipped and well informed enough to understand how to defeat the same system that's keeping you down. If you and everyone that you associate with go out into your community and build yourself a dream team and start doing positive things in that community, they'll know by your works and they'll talk about it and they'll look over at your community and see how much better yours is than theirs and are more likely to adopt your ideas than they would have otherwise if you tried to shove them down their throats. There is a way of teaching without teaching. Without people even knowing they're being taught, there's a way to show them that path. Just by being that light, they'll see the troubles coming down the road. I still believe in the dream. No matter how many people try to discourage me, no matter how many people try to tell me I'm stupid, I'm ignorant, I still believe in the dream. I know the power of the heart, and I know the power of the spirit. I know the power of the word. When you get angry out there, before you open your mouth and you start talking to people and try to convince them and bring them over to your side, choose wisely your words. And you choose those words wisely, and you deliver them respectfully, you might just win them over. But if you're going out there on masses and you're protesting not just the government, but you're protesting those with different points of view and opinions, and you're fighting with them and you're spitting on them and committing acts of violence against them and calling them hurtful names, then you can't be surprised when they retaliate. You can't be surprised when the government that you hold so high above your head with all your strength and all your might and all your actions, you hold that base, you're the base of that pyramid, it holds that capstone above your head. And you keep feeding that beast. You can't be surprised when it turns around and it's never unending hunger and eats you alive. That's the dirty little secret about the governments of the world. That's the dirty little secret about banking and industry and corporates. That's the dirty little secret they don't want you to know. And so you are easily manipulated. They play on your heart. They play on your anger, your frustration, and they play on your pain. And they utilize your suffering to get their things done. They indoctrinate your children. They lie to you. They poison you. All under the guise of your protection. And you keep coming back. The doctor that has become the butcher has become to you the celebrity. What a world. All we can do is try to be the best that we can. All we can do is be the best that we can be and let our light shine so that others may follow and find the truth. I'm not going to give up doing what it is I'm doing. We have technical problems, but we come together and we solve them. We have personal problems, but we come together and we help each other along nonetheless. Somehow or another, something I say I hope someday gets out there into the world. And I hope they understand that we can't keep repeating the mistakes of the past. There are protests in every single nation. There are wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, and pestilence. There are people lying and killing and stealing, and so much more. So you ask yourself a question. If you were the great creator of this world, would you be pleased? If I had to judge this world at this point in the game, it would be a painful day. I wish I had a magic wand and I could just wave it out there into the world and make everything right. I wished I had a magic wand and I could take all the good people of this world and put them somewhere safe. And then that community that those good people built together send the signal over to all these people here that are constantly repeating the same old ridiculousness. And let them see what life could be like. But unfortunately, folks, I am nothing more than just a man. Just a people. One of we the people. A piece of the puzzle that, when gathered together with each of you, helped to create the big picture. We have solutions for every single problem under the sun. And my voice is lobbying the world. And my heart is lobbying the world to come together and get things done. I believe we have the power to create quite literally a utopia on earth, a heaven on earth, so to speak. And the only way that we can have that is if we choose to make it so. You've been listening to the Knights of Roundtable. Please share these words with somebody if they've even remotely inspired you. I still believe in hope. I still believe in love. And I still believe in the dream.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
There's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm along.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the terrible, and the knights of the round table.